you trust the stewards. And in the longer run, it's clear that the people who were for holding a gun to his head, I think, had it right. But whatever policy, either policy would have been, if you like, a peace or a war, either would have been doable or viable and might even have ended up in a better position for Catholics. But kind of vacillating between the two and trying both at the same time or neither didn't work. And clearly, everything that they did and that they achieved is overshadowed by Cromwell.
Yeah, and well, that's indeed brings me on to my next question, because this is one of the things that's most remembered in say, the folklore of Irish history is the Cromwellian conquest. Was this really the turning point that people believe it to be?
Oh, yeah. No, that's the big watershed in Irish history, equaled perhaps only by the Great Famine of the mid-19th century. So we talk about pre and post-Cromwell. Why is it so? Because the conquest itself is associated with really heavy loss of life. Expropriation, followed on by expropriation of the landowning elite. I keep talking about land and land ownership. Why is that important? Because if you take a community like Irish Catholic, we'll call it the Irish Catholic community at this stage, if you decapitate it, if you take out the leadership of it, by, how do you do that? By putting them into, exiling them or dispossessing most of them of their lands, or dispossessing nearly all of them of most of their lands, you then weaken that community. The leadership elite is the cultural gatekeepers, the political leaders, the military leaders. If you suppress them, you're a long way to keeping on top of the Irish problem, as it were. Add to that then the huge loss of life. I think at least a fifth of the native population dies as a consequence of the conquest. I mean, indirect consequence, famine, epidemic, disease. You then take with that the influx of new settlers. You have a profound change. The towns in the 1650s, the towns before then were Catholic bastions. Even Dublin, they were dominated by mercantile merchant princes intermarried, like the tribes of Galway or Limerick and Cork, all of those. They're dispossessed. They never really regain their power at all, and urban Ireland becomes overwhelmingly settler dominated, and the rural settlement is consolidated as well, in Munster and to a lesser extent Ulster. And everything that happens thereafter for the rest of the century is trying to reverse the Cromwellian land settlement. Politics for the next 50 years is about the Catholic attempt by war, by court diplomacy, by legal means, by various strategies to reverse that. They failed to do it.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about a landowning elite now, as representing Irish Catholics. To what extent did the ordinary people buy into it? And I'm thinking particularly of the final years of the Cromwellian conquest, where there's a kind of a guerrilla warfare. So does this show that there's a popular identification with this, or do you think it's really, we're talking about an elite, a landed elite?
The short answer is I don't know. Now, this is a deferential society. And as other societies of the time, it's nearly modern. So people would follow their leaders, their landlords, their where they are of the same culture and the same, broadly speaking, religious allegiances. So when we're looking at where the Catholic elite, the royalist resistance in the latter part of the wars, the resistance of the Tories, it's the resistance of people who have no options. There are no peace terms on the table. And they are, I mean, some of these groups run into the thousands. They're the fragments of the Irish Royalist armies. They have a popular following insofar as they have no difficulty recruiting soldiers in quite difficult conditions. You don't see, if you like, a differentiation, I think, between the popular feeling and that of the leadership. Certainly not then. You do tend to see it if you're looking at the Jacobite Wars of a half century later, and there are distinct perspectives. But for this one, I think you're looking at a genuinely popular war, this Tory war, albeit not popular in the sense that it has some popular support. And I think the Cromwellians understand that. And they understand it, and they negate that by directing their efforts against the support base of the guerrillas, by destroying crops, by moving people out of extensive
do you see any parallels there with modern guerrilla warfare? It sounds strikingly modern when you talk about it there.
Well, I think it's, if you wanted modern analogies, sort of counterinsurgency 101.
Mm-hmm. And the relationship there between the past and the present is something I'm interested in. Do you think, I mean, it's a long time has passed and a lot has changed, but are we still, in a way, prisoners of this time, of this idea of dispossession and the idea of Irishness as being something that's opposed to Britishness? Do you think we're still prisoners of this idea to a certain extent?